Good morning. Brad Lacey with the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. I am joined for this hour by Brother Paige Tyler, Mr. 12-Step himself, a man who has not simply gone through the process of the 12-Step ministry, but who has come to embody it and who gladly and earnestly comes alongside of anyone in need of comparable assistance. Before Brother Tyler and I share together step 12, we draw upon the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter. We take from Mother Mary, Jesus' mother, her magnificent song, known down through the ages as the Magnificat. We read that my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. One of the rather enlightening aspects, if you will, of Mother Mary's character. We know her to be the mother of Jesus. We know her to be a woman of incomparable grace and of holiness. We know that our Catholic brethren place even greater esteem upon her, though by no means do those of us who are evangelical Protestants place her in any kind of demeaning position. To be the mother of Christ is to be one chosen of God, and therefore she is a woman not only especially favored, but of an especial character. But that being said, something we often not think of or apply to Mary is that she was a poetess. She was a woman of deep lyrical character and a flow, if you will, to her soul. And this beautiful song that she has written is a paean of praise, a poetic and lyrical paean of praise to the Almighty. For God has been good to her, and she wishes to give him glory in the best way she knows how. For Mary, in the immediacy of the moment, it was to write a poem and to speak musically. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. While we looked at that verse last time, we look afresh because it is a verse that is so pregnant with significance, so exquisitely beautiful in its expression. One can continuously draw upon it. Indeed, the Christian church and the testament of the gospel has drawn upon it down through the centuries and across two millennia. And as we've entered the third millennia, it is just as magnificent. My soul magnifies the Lord. So often we want for God to magnify us. And indeed, he has lifted us up. He has rescued and redeemed us. He has ennobled us. We have become children of the Almighty. I love how the Apostle Peter puts it in his first epistle, the second chapter. You are God's special possession. It's a precious reality. But it starts with the individual soul giving magnification in his or her life to Almighty God. We are nothing but for him, and we are and have everything because of him. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. It was my great privilege earlier today to officiate a funeral of a man I did not know, but wished that I had known. He was a man of impeccable character and of deep Christian conviction. And by virtue of the crowd that had come to attend his funeral, it was evident to me that he was a man to be truly honored. And I mention him, please, because he was a man for whom the gospel was of the utmost significance. He was a man whose spirit rejoiced in God his Savior. But that doesn't mean that everyone present in the funeral would be so joyful in the Lord. They would hear the word, and it was my prayer that the word would strike deep into their hearts and minds. They would be eminently respectful of that word being shared. And several of them came to me by God's grace to affirm the word that was offered. That being said, many a pew person, many a churchgoer has left church on a daily or weekly basis down through the years and has proven to be unscathed by the life-giving word of God, by the presence of the Almighty. God forbid that this be true of you who are listening, or of myself as I share. May your spirit, as may mine, like that of Mary, rejoice in God our Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. God is always looking down. He is always mindful of his people. This is one of the great and priceless realities of the gospel, that Almighty God, who set all things, created all things and set them into place, who is transcendent over and above everything that has been created by him, yet we also are given to understand that he remains mindful of the least of his children. As Jesus so preciously put it, does not God have the mindfulness of the sparrow? Does he not have every hair that is on your head numbered? God is always mindful of his children, always mindful of those who look to him. And his mindfulness is one of benevolence. It is one of heartfelt desire to bless. God is always in the blessing business. He always wishes to bless you. May you always wish to bless his name. The issue today is not the lack of his blessing. We say, God bless America, notwithstanding the travails that have beset us, notwithstanding the fact that we have, as a whole, broken ranks with the word of God, and yet still we cry out, God bless America. God does bless us, but it is so important that we bless him back. America, bless the Lord. You who are listening, bless the Lord. Brad Lacey, who is sharing this word, bless the Lord, because he has looked down upon us. He has seen our need. He has come alongside of us through Christ, and he shares it. My dear friend, colleague, and brother, Paige Tyler, will be sharing Step 12 together in just a few moments. I have borne witness to his life, ministry, and character for, well over 16 years now. And he comes alongside of men and women struggling with addictions. He is mindful of their need. He is very mindful of how God has met his. And he would be an instrument of salvation and of redemption and of renewal in the lives of those who have such need. My wife and I recently were called upon to minister to a young man, a fine young man with a heart for God. But he's been overwhelmed by panic attacks, attacks that find him in the ER of the local hospital in Montgomery County. It's a frightening kind of a thing that besets him. God is mindful of him. God is mindful of his need and of his anxiety. And he would fill my young friend with his holy peace. And we endeavor to come alongside of him now and be the presence of Christ in his life. So often, God's mindfulness of your welfare will be expressed through the presence, even the delivery of a believer in Jesus Christ into your life. Last year, as I went around Conshohocken, going door to door with scripture distributions, I became very acutely aware of the Amazon deliveries, this whole new phenomenon in American life. Boxes upon boxes at every doorstep. Amazon delivering to your very door what you want. Well, God will deliver to you. A believer in Jesus Christ, one who knows the love of the Lord and who would gladly share that love and his or her redeemed life with you. It is one of the great expressions of God's mindfulness of us all. God has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. You can have $1 million a day. You can be surrounded by throngs of seemingly adoring people, and yet there is a hole in your heart. And as the great Augustine said, only you, O Lord, can fill that hole. We are all before the eyes of Almighty God of a humble state. And when we acknowledge our humility, when we humble ourselves before him, praise the Lord. Like Mary, praise the Lord. He is mindful of us as well. He will put a song in your heart. It might not be nearly as poetical as Mary, but it will be just as effective, just as meaningful, and just as saving. Praise the Lord, all to the glory of God and the blessing of his very own. Brad Lacey with the great message. Brother Paige, Tyler, and I return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Brother Paige Tyler joins me afresh with step 12 of the 12-step ministry. Brother Tyler embodies this wonderful work. He is a dear friend and trusted ministerial colleague of mine. He comes to my rescue at any hour of day or night, and he will gladly do the same for you. Brother Tyler, welcome back.
Thank you, Bradley. It's a blessing to be here.
It's a joy to have you. I know you're back in town, which is a delight as well. And what I want to ask you, Paige, I mean, we've gone the distance. In January, we looked at step one. We've gone through the calendar year. We're now in the 12th month. We look now to step 12. When is graduation?
Oh, graduation comes very soon, as soon as you get horizontal.
You mean there's no certificate that I get?
Well, it's like this. The minute you get to the point where you feel as though you have absolutely no character defects to work on, then you've graduated.
You have indeed.
And more than likely, if you believe that, you're probably lying to yourself.
And no doubt. No doubt.
And we shouldn't.
However, when God determines that your work is done, you know, every time I do a funeral, and I did one earlier today, I've done two in the last week, I always try to encourage people, and I know it's not easy. People are grieving the loss of a loved one. But if that loved one knows the love of Christ, the reality is that Jesus can love them even better.
Right.
That's the hat. I hang my spiritual hat on that peg, that when I lose someone I love as dearly as I want them back, I realize that Jesus can love them better than can I. And I praise God for that. And I know the kind of love, brother, that you invest into the lives of people through this 12-step ministry. And so when we come now to step 12, I realize that you're living it out day by day,
right,
for the rest of your days.
And what most people don't realize is that step 12 is while it is a work, it is faith in action.
Yeah.
So therefore, step 12 is the result of the previous 11 steps being done as well as we know how to do. So let me parse out particularly the first phrase in step 12. It says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. Now, the these steps he's talking about is steps 1 through 11. So in step 1 through 11, we are in university, and we're being taught how to use the tools of our trade. And the tools of our trade are the tools of how to grow a spiritual life, or how to grow a spiritual garden, how to till the soil, root out the weeds, dig up the rocks, you know, plow the soil well, fertilize it with the word, water it with truth, enlighten it with faith, it's the sunlight, and grow a spiritual garden. That was steps 1 through 11.
Well, an observation, Brother Page, you speak of faith, which is an existential reality. It's not merely a dictionary definition or an act of intellectual assertion. If we are not applying these techniques or these steps as an act of existential, God-given faith, then these steps are nothing more than mechanical, technical things that will be of no value to us.
Very empty. And what I have seen and I've watched over the past 30 years, people coming into 12-step programs, very diligently working the steps, but they are working the steps. They very wrongly call it their program. So they are working their program. What a big mistake. And they get to the end. They've done all the things that man can do, but they did it without God. And sadly enough, for many of them, they end up in one or two states. They feel very unfulfilled and go back to their vomit, go back to the drugs. They go back to the sex. They go back to the overeating. They go back to the gambling. They go back to the buying incessantly, or credit, addictions. Or they become what we call dry drunks. They don't do those things, but they are absolutely miserable. They have not found the joy of God, the peace that passes all understanding. They haven't found the love of God in all the work that they did. And the reason why is because they did not include God in the work.
Well, the love of Christ, the joy of his salvation, the peace that passes all understanding, all of this comes by way of his very real, palpable presence in our lives. I think the most enlightening truth that Jesus ever offered, and I think it has deep psychological significance, let alone spiritual, when he says that if you would find your life, you must lose it by way of finding me. If you lose your life for me and my sake, you will find it. So working through these steps, confronting our demons, to do so without God mightily present within us, we're inviting an ambush of cataclysmic proportion.
Exactly. When we start out working the steps, inevitably a person who starts out working the steps thinks that they are doing it for everybody else. I'm making a list of all the people I have harmed. That's for everybody else. I'm qualifying my character defects. That's for everybody else. I'm making amends. That's for everybody else. I'm doing a daily inventory. That's for everybody else. But in truth is, none of it was for anybody other than you. 90% of those people forgot what you did to them anyway.
Yeah.
You know, most of them have.
Well, I have found in far less severe conditions that when I sometimes endeavor to apologize to someone, that they're clueless as to what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
It looms larger in your head.
Right. It went all right over their heads. They paid no attention to it and moved right on. And you're nurturing it 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20 years later. And so what this all was, the process of the 12 steps was to teach you how to live a life that is acceptable and pleasing to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If that is not what your goal is, then you missed the point. Now, no one starts out with that goal. But what happens as they're walking along the way, it's like the disciples along the way to Emmaus. They're walking and talking with Jesus Christ, and they do not realize who he is. But eventually, before the conversation is over, they go, oh, my goodness, why didn't we recognize him? by the time you get to the ninth or tenth step, this should no longer be for everybody else. This should be for you.
It's interesting. Over the course of my ministry, I deal with all kinds of people. Sometimes I deal with a particular type. We can pick up on it on the other end of the break. And the type is this: the person who believes that he or she has arrived and now wants to tell everyone else how to live. And yet it's evident that that person hasn't yet figured it out yet for himself or herself. Everyone knows that, but that individual. And I don't say this to be cynical or to be sarcastic. It's simply a reality. But brother, we'll pick up on that one on the other end of the break as we continue apace with step 12. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler, we return momentarily. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler returning with yet another round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brother Tyler, in referencing the individual who believes that he or she has arrived, it strikes me that just like hypocrisy is actually a kind of odd homage to virtue, or vice's odd homage to virtue, someone who thinks that he or she has arrived in his or her own way genuinely wants to help somebody else.
They actually do.
Yeah.
They actually believe that they have arrived. They figured it out. I've done the 12 steps. I know what you need. And what they're missing is the missing ingredient in their program, because it's their program, is the Spirit of the Lord.
And therefore, it's not God who's working through them. It's themselves imposing themselves upon others.
Exactly.
Like the road to hell is paved with the best of intentions.
Right, right. In the previous step, we learn through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God and to pray only for those things that are beneficial to Him and the power to carry that out, not beneficial to me. What is happening when the person who has arrived and is genuinely trying to help anybody, it's really a form of self-ego inflation. Look who I help. Look at all the people who I have saved. It's kind of like, how many people have I passed out a tract to today, as like a badge of honor. It's not the fact that you're getting the word of God into the hands of people who may die in their sin. That's not important. What's important to you is how many people you got, how many tracts you handed out today.
Do you know how many pastors? It's a very sad reality. Do you know? And I know some wonderful, very salutary, godly men and women. But the number of pastors, the first order of conversation amongst them: how big is your church and how big is your budget? Translation: how much have you succeeded? Not being faithful, but succeeded. And I think that a similar thing plays out if we get to step 12 and we've missed the whole point of steps 1 through 11.
Exactly.
But help rectify our understanding of step 12.
So step 12 is now, it is the outgrowth of doing the previous 11 steps. So many 12-steppers want to skip over that first part of the step. They want to skip right over having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And what they want to do is they want to carry this message to other suffering individuals. That's kind of like carrying the message of Christianity. In other words, the message hasn't changed between the 12 steps and the Bible. This is in the 12 steps that's been simplified for us. And then they totally never get to the last part of step 12, which is practicing these principles. That's the previous 11 steps in all our affairs. That's a big order. This is the reason why I say you're probably never going to get finished step 12, because it says practicing the previous 11 steps in all your affairs. That includes the praying only for God's will and the power to carry that out. That includes making sure that my character defects aren't blocking the will of God in my life. And I can go on and on and on, going backwards with each step, showing that each step is a stepping stone to getting to this place. And if you hop, skip, and jump over any of the steps, you're going to come to this place with a half-empty bag. And then people who have the half-empty bag, and they've gotten to the 12th step with the half-empty bag because they're not full of the Spirit. They haven't filled that part of their bag that needs to have the Spirit in it. Now what they're trying to do is function without God, function without God's leadership. I've got many years in the program, but I sit in meetings all the time. I very rarely take on a sponsee. Why? Because I'm waiting for God to show me who I'm supposed to be sponsoring, not jumping up, grabbing every newcomer that comes in and trying to sponsor them so I can get another badge.
I have learned that, too, in my role both as a pastor but also simply in my role as a witness for Christ. You don't try to manufacture your own opportunities.
Right.
Ample will come to you, and God will help you to discern where and with whom you can be of value. I had a situation not that long ago, and it was the first time in my ministry, 33 years now. I mean, I've had people who have come into my presence who have frustrated me. No lack of love on my part to acknowledge that I could get frustrated. They could easily be with me as well. But once in most recent times, I in my heart of hearts, I was so uncomfortable. I knew that God did not want me as the primary individual in that person's existence. Not for any disaffection on my part. I actually liked the person. But there was something that wasn't right. And I could have ignored that and sought to be that person's savior. It would have been disastrous. There's one savior, and his name isn't Brad Lacey.
Amen.
His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord for that beautiful name.
Right. So for my 12-step program, it is led by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing I can do on my own. I, without the Spirit of Christ, am nothing. And I do nothing without being led by him. And I pray before I get involved in anything. I pray before I try to do any 12-step work. Now, of course, there's a simple 12-step work of raising my hand in a meeting and sharing. That's a totally different thing from actually interacting with an individual on a personal level.
Well, if I may put it this way, there's the bread and butter realities of our faith.
Yeah.
You know, that are just, they are germane to day-to-day existence. You know, we can't stop loving people because
right.
we don't feel called to come alongside in a mentor-mentee relationship with one individual. The love of Christ remains in play. So there's
exactly.
the bread and butter. There's the general will of God for us, but then there's the specific will of God.
Exactly. And I'm working with a brother now. He's a Christian brother, fell on hard times, turned to drinking. Came into the program looking for some help. I picked up that he was a Christian. I could tell by his share he was a Christian. And I went up and, you know, pulled up alongside him. God led me. And that has been one of the most bountiful relationships I've had over the past year, because I'm watching this brother grow in leaps and bounds very quickly.
That's such a beautiful thing.
It is. It is. But, you know, it wasn't something that I said, oh, I'm going to go. You know, this was purely waiting for the leading of God to lead me to the right person.
You know, brother, we have a gentleman amongst us right now. I don't think you've met him, but I knew him 20 years ago. And I always felt that he belonged with us, even though he disappeared. But in my heart, I knew he belonged with us. He has since returned, and he has said to me that for the longest time he felt the same way. And we were chatting very heart to heart just the other day. And by the way, this coming Sunday, he will be sober 16 years.
Very good.
Praise the Lord. Amen. But as we spoke, we came to understand that things had to play out in our lives. We had to make allowance for the flow of life, for how God was at work, for what he needed to fall into place before he and I could be restored to active, meaningful, fruitful, growing relationship, and I see Christ in him in a way that I didn't see before. He sees Christ at work in me in a way that he hadn't seen before. But we have to trust in God for his timing. You know, he says in the book of Acts that he appoints us for certain times and certain places so that his salvation can be revealed. You would have been far less effective, with no disrespect intended, if you were raised in 1832 Lyon, France, because the 12-step ministry hadn't come around yet. You shine, I mean, like a star in the universe, as Paul puts it to the Philippians, because this is a mode of ministry that you are made for.
Well, God made me for this. God led me down this path, and God gave me this ministry and said, this is where you belong. He spoke, I mean, in my heart. He constantly leads me saying, not to the right nor to the left, but on this path you should stay, and that's why I've stayed on it. If God led me in a different direction, I would go there, because I'm not following Paige's bright ideas. Because look where Paige's bright ideas got me. You know, got me into AA. So Paige's bright ideas are worthless. But what I'm following is the Spirit of God, that I learned how to hear His voice in my heart through the 12-step program.
Well, if I may put it,
this 11 steps.
Yeah, if I may put it this way, the 12 steps are very similar to theological propositions. Theological propositions are true. The steps are worthy. But both theological propositions and the 12 steps are worthless without the life being infused into them, which is Jesus Christ, by way of His living and Holy Spirit. And clearly He has control of you. And I pray that He has such control, comparable control over me. I will defer to you. I see Christ at work in you in a magnificent way. I remain a project, a work in progress, you know. But that being said, I'm in the race, as so many people are. Praise God. But your response, I can see on your countenance, we have to hold till the other end. Hold it right there. Brad Lacy and Brother Paige Tyler, we return for a final round in just a moment. Brad Lacy and Brother Paige Tyler returning for one final round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Brother Tyler, I've waited 16 years to cut you off ruthlessly, but there was a look on your countenance. I want you to pick up where we left off.
Yes, Bradley. I mean, so many pastors, they want to pastor the big churches. They want the big congregations, and they want the big salaries. You, my brother, have pastored the small congregation, sometimes not even receiving a salary. You've taken on the presidency of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and you've led it into the 21st century. It would have gotten stuck in the 20th century and had a hard time getting out if it wasn't for your leadership. And you continue to grow. You got to remember, it is the Church of Philadelphia that Christ has given the greatest accommodations of all the seven churches in Revelations. And what's the one characteristic of the Church of Philadelphia is that it's small. And it's poor.
Yeah. And you know something, brother, that creates conditions ripe and rife for humility. And I relate to what Mary has to say in her magnificent Magnificat. When Mary cries out, "He has looked on the humble estate of His servant," I instinctively and pervasively relate to that. You know, I entered ministry with a kind of handicap in this respect. I didn't enter ministry with a sense of confidence. I lacked self-confidence, but I came to understand that my confidence is in Christ. And I think that's a 12-step arrival, that our confidence and the life we now live, we live not of ourselves, but in and by Christ. Not I, but Christ who lives in me.
Exactly.
The life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave His life for me.
Exactly. The man who I created is dead.
Yeah.
And he did a terrible job. Yeah. And God picked up the humble estate of a fallen life and renewed it, resurrected me and restored me and gave me 10 times what I had before, and has infused me with his love, his care, and his spirit as I opened up my life unto him and learned how to use the tools, which are really the same tools that are in the Bible. All of the stuff that are in the 12 steps, you can make biblical reference. If you followed along with us during the year, you've seen me make biblical reference back to every single step. There's a biblical statement with each step, and I've done biblical studies on it. The one that draws closest to me with step 12 is 2 Corinthians 7:14 and 15, which is, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, step 1, 2, and 3, and pray, step 5, 4, 5, and 6, seek my face, is that 7, 8, and 9, and turn from their wicked ways, oh my goodness, then I will hear from heaven, step 11, and heal their land.
That's a wonderful connectedness between 2 Chronicles 7:14 and the 12-step program. That's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Absolutely. I'd work on that one. That is very meaningful.
Yeah, and because that's the one that I go back to, is that here's the foundation for step 12. Because you've come through all this, and here's it being quoted in the Bible, what you needed to do. You should have done all these things by the time you got to step 12. And now your land's being healed. And now what we are is we're in faith. We walk by faith, not by fear, not by sight, not by news. But we walk by faith. And in our faith now, our land is healed. And our faith must have legs. It must have works. So now faith without works is dead. So I need step 12 in order to make my faith alive. I achieve faith through step 11. I need step 12 to make my faith alive, which is me working, doing something for God.
Look, you'll be very pleased, brother. You'll be so pleased with this. Some people who were in the church in my early days, you would not have known them. And there were some difficulties that arose. And I'm not casting aspersion on them or on myself, but difficulties arose. A separation played out. And that situation has always shadowed me for 30 years. I believe that when I was sent out to the Mayo Clinic for heart surgery, God was doing so much more than simply putting my cardiac muscle at the disposal of a world-renowned surgeon who was God's gift to me. But there was so much else going on. That whole process humbled me. There was so much to be learned. And I came out of it physically feeling better, but finding myself more deeply ensconced in the presence of God. And I have discerned the difference that has meant to my ministry. And now, 30 years later, God has paved the way. I've entered into some, let's just say, preliminary conversation to bring about reconciliation with those individuals from 30 years ago. But brother, it's a 12-step reality. I couldn't have gotten to this point without the application, either intentionally or instinctively, of those steps. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. And God brings us to our making amends and all that. As we go on down the road, he keeps building our life. We keep redoing these steps. Next year, on next month, I will choose another one of the minuscule little character defects that still remain.
I can't even see them with my naked eye, Paige. I'll take your word for it there.
And I will take it through the steps one more time. I have done this many times. Sometimes I find myself by the time I get to April, I feel like I've already finished this particular thing that I picked up. There's other times when I've picked up parts of my character, and it's taken me 5 years to work my way through them. Yeah, who knows? But God, I pray for God to show me something that I need to work on. You know, show me something that's not like him that I need to work on. And then I start, why is that still there? Why am I doing this that's causing this that's not like Christ? And then try to move on down the road. And, you know, I'm starting to believe that next year I'm going to be working on thankfulness a lot more. I'm starting to believe that. I'm not guaranteed, but my prayers have been pointing toward thankfulness, being thankful what I do have. In other words, I might have a little bit of complaining and murmuring.
Yeah, but you know something, brother? We are grateful for you. I know that I am. I thank God that you've introduced the 12 steps to us, but more so that you've introduced yourself and your lovely wife to us. But we are out of time. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler, we bid you God's grace and blessing in every way. Take care.